I have such a great text this morning and such an outstanding subject. The text is found in Isaiah chapter 9. Let me read the text first. If you have your Bibles, I would like you to open your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 9. And let me read two verses, verses 6 and 7. Now listen carefully as I read it from Isaiah 9. For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And listen. And of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end, everlasting, eternal. And upon the throne of David, and upon his kingdom to establish it with judgment and justice, from henceforth, even forevermore. And the will and the purpose of the Lord shall accomplish this. Now that's the text. And I'm going to try to look at just about every phrase. So keep your Bibles open to Isaiah 9. Now here's the subject. Unto us a son is given. What an awesome, awesome subject. What a powerful text. Paul in 1 Timothy 3, verse 16, calls it a mystery. This incarnation of God. God became a man. God came into this world, the incarnation of Christ, the glorious name. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, and his kingdom, his everlasting kingdom. That's what we're dealing with here, the incarnation, the glorious name of this Son, and his everlasting kingdom. And Paul said, that's a mystery, a mystery. Without controversy, he says, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified, vindicated by the Spirit, seen of the angels, preached to the Gentiles, preached to every nation, believed on in the world, and received up into glory. What a mystery. What a mystery. Paul in Romans 11 calls it an unsearchable mystery. He says, oh, the depths of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable. How unsearchable are his judgments. His ways past finding out. An unsearchable mystery. And then in 2 Corinthians 9, he calls this unspeakable. Unspeakable. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift unto us. Unto us, a son is given. A son is given. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Unto us, a child is born. Unto us, a son is given. God was manifest in human flesh. How mysterious. How unsearchable. And how unspeakable for human words. The Son of Mary is the Son of God. Can you understand that? This little infant lying in the arms of Mary in Bethlehem is the Son of God. In the same breath that the prophet calls him a child, unto us a child is born, he calls him the Counselor. This infant, this child, is the Counselor. And in the same breath he calls him the Son, he calls him the Everlasting Father. And he says in verse 5, his garments are rolled in blood. He's a warrior. He's a conqueror. And yet he's called the Prince of Peace. He's called in Isaiah 53 a man of sorrows. And here, the Mighty God. A man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. And yet he's the Mighty God. That's the mystery. That's the unsearchable riches of God's purpose. He's despised, it said. He's rejected of men. Despised, rejected of men. Everybody hid, as it were, their faces from him. And yet it says, on his shoulders is the government. And of his kingdom there is no end. And every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess that he is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Contradiction? No. There's no contradiction here. Not for the person who knows God. Not for the person who's heard the gospel. This glorious truth, this glorious mystery of the incarnation of God is not learned by reason. Nor is it learned by research. Nor is it learned by logic. It's learned by revelation. God reveals these mysteries to his people. God, by his Spirit, reveals these mysteries. In 1 Corinthians 2, verse 7, Paul said, "We speak the word of God in a mystery, which none of the leaders of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But God hath revealed these mysteries unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep, unsearchable riches of God. And the Spirit of God has revealed them unto us." You see, there's no seeing Christ except in his own light. That's right. He's the one to whom we look, and he's the light by which we see. He's the teacher, and yet he's the lesson we learn. He's the priest. He's the sacrifice. He's the altar, and he's the one to whom the offering is offered. Look at that text again. Look at it carefully. "Unto us a child, a little infant, a tender plant, a root out of dry ground. A child is born. Unto us a son is given. Unto us a child is born." Unto us a son is given. Unto whom? Who's the prophet talking about? "Unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulders." Well, I'll tell you, quite frankly, unto whom a child is born, unto whom a son is given. It's like our Lord said in Lamentation 3, "Is it nothing to you, all ye that pass by, and behold my sorrow, and behold my humiliation? Is it nothing to you?" Yes, it's nothing to most of them, but to some it's everything. And I'll tell you to whom that child is born, and to whom that son is given. He's born a son and a savior to those who are born of God. That's what it says in John 1. It says, "He was in the world, and the world knew him not. He came into his own nation, and they knew him not. But as many as received him and believed him, to them gave he the right to become sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born, not of blood, not of the will of the flesh, not of the will of man, but born of God. Unto us a child is given. Unto us a son is born." Unto whom? Unto those who are born of God. Unto those who are sons of God. "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called sons of God." Who is he, this child born, this son given? Ask a believer. He'll tell you. Our Lord said, "Peter, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And Peter said, "Well, some say you're John the Baptist, some say you're Elijah, some say you're one of the prophets. But Peter, whom do you say that I am?" "Ah," he said, "you're the Christ. You're the Son of the living God. You're the Son of God. Unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given." Unto whom? Unto those who are born of God. Unto those who are sons of God. Unto those who are given to him. He's given to those who were given to him. He said, all that my Father giveth me shall come to me. They'll come to me because they'll recognize me. They'll know who I am. And they'll come to me. Unto whom is the child born and the son given? Unto them that were given to him. He's given to those who were given to him. And watch this. Unto us a child is born, a man child. A man child is born to those who are little children. By nature, men grow from little children to grown men. My, how you've grown, somebody will say to a young teenager. He keeps growing. After a while, he's a grown man. In the kingdom of God, it's the reverse. Men go from grown men to little children. Our Lord said to the Apostle Peter, except you be converted and become as a little child, you won't enter the kingdom of heaven. So God, in human flesh, born a child, given a son, is known and recognized and believed and received by those who are born of God. By those who are sons of God, the son is given to those who are sons, to those who are given to him, and to those who become as little children, who have no pride and arrogance to keep them from worshiping him and falling at his feet. Read that text again. Listen to it. Unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. Is the Holy Spirit repeating himself? Unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. There's no repetition here. What the Spirit of God is saying is a child is born who never lived on this earth before. There's a little body that came forth from a mother's womb and was washed and salted and swaddled and wrapped in swaddling clothes and laid in a manger. That infant was never on this earth before. Our Lord said in Hebrews 10, a body thou hast prepared me. But the man, the person who lived in that body, for whom that body was prepared, that son given who inhabited that body, is the eternal Son of God, whose goings forth have been from everlasting to everlasting. You know, he prayed in Gethsemane's garden, Father, glorify thou me with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. Before the world was. Unto us, a child is born back yonder 2,000 years ago. But that body of that child is inhabited, indwelt, by a son who wasn't born. The only begotten son wasn't born. He wasn't made. He was given. It says in Romans 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel of God, concerning his son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David, which was made of the seed of David and declared to be the Son of God. Unto us a child is born. The body is made in the womb and brought forth. But the Son is not born, nor made, nor formed. He's given. He's revealed. That's what Philippians 2 says. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who thought it not robbery to be equal with God, and yet made himself of no reputation. Took upon himself the form of a servant. Was made in the likeness of sinful flesh. And became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Unto us a child is born. Never lived before. A body was prepared. Brought into the world. Bone of our bone, flesh of our flesh, blood. Flesh, bone, and blood. But in that body prepared by God, conceived by the Holy Ghost, brought forth from the womb of Mary, dwelt the Son of God himself. And he lived on this earth in human flesh. He was made of a woman, made under his own law, to redeem us that were under the law, to deliver us from the curse of the law, to work out by his obedience and righteousness a perfect holiness that we might be accepted in him. Went to the cross and paid our sin debt, put away our guilt, washed our souls white as snow. was buried and rose again, ascended to the right hand of God, where he ever lives to make intercession for us. Is this true? Is this true? Is what I'm preaching true? Well, the angel says it is. The angel of the Lord said it is. That angel came to Joseph and he said, Joseph, Mary was with child. They were engaged to be married. And Joseph was going to put her away privately so she wouldn't be embarrassed because she was found with child. And the angel said, now, Joseph, don't you be afraid to take Mary to be your wife. Because that holy thing which is conceived in her is the Son of God, conceived by the Holy Ghost. And you call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And this is the fulfillment of the Isaiah's prophecy. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bring forth a son, and you call his name Emmanuel, God with us. God with us. The angel said so. The Heavenly Father said so. The Heavenly Father spoke one day and said, this is my beloved Son. Hear ye him. Moses and Elijah were sent down from heaven to talk to him. And while they were talking, Moses and Elijah and the Lord Jesus Christ, the voice from heaven again said, this is my Son. Hear ye him. It's true. The Holy Spirit says it's true. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. All things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, right here in this world, among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Even the demons tell us it's true. You know what they said when they met him one day? They said, we know who you are. We know who you are there in Matthew 8. We know who you are. You're Jesus, the Son of God. Have you come to torment us before the time? Every prophet and apostle declared him to be the Son of God. To him give all the prophets witness that through his name, whosoever believeth on him might have everlasting life. Is this true? Yes, sir. The angels tell us it's so. The Father tells us it's so. The Holy Spirit tells us it's so. Even the demons tell us it's so. The Bible tells us it's so. Every prophet and apostle declares Jesus of Nazareth is the Son of God. Well, second question. This being true, what does it mean to you and to me? That God became a man. That God came down here to the earth in human flesh. What does that mean to you and me? Well, it means we have a Savior. Call his name Jesus. Joshua. He'll save his people from their sins. I have a Savior, the God-man. Secondly, it means I have a righteousness. He who knew no sin was made sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Thirdly, it means I have redemption. For he hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. Fourthly, it means I have a high priest. Seeing we have such a high priest, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who's passed into the heavens, we have a high priest who has somewhat to offer, his own blood, his perfect holiness. We have a high priest. Let us come boldly before the throne of grace. We have an atonement. We have a mercy seat. We have a mediator between us and God. If any man sin, we have an advocate. And we have a good hope of eternal life. Christ in you, that's the hope of glory. Is it true? Yes, this is true. This is the gospel. This is the gospel. And if it's true, which it is, I have a Savior, I have a righteousness, I have a redemption, I have a high priest, I have an atonement, I have a mediator, I have an advocate, I have a good hope in Christ Jesus. But preacher, what if it's not true? Well, if Jesus Christ is not God, now you listen to me. If this child was not born, or if he's born and he's not God, if he's not the God-man, if he's not the Christ, if he's not the Messiah, if he's not the root of Jesse, the line of the tribe of Judah, if he's not the son of David, if he's not the son of God, then we have no Savior. We have no Savior. We're not our own Saviors. The law's no Savior. The ordinances, the ceremonies, the holy days, we have no Savior. We have no righteousness. We're still in our sins. We have no high priest. We have no atonement. We have no mediator. We stand before the throne of God, before the judgment. It's appointed unto me and once to die. After this, the judgment. And we have no Savior, no righteousness, no holiness, no mediator, no advocate, no hope. We stand before God dead in sins. And our Lord said, if you believe not that I am He, you die in your sins. And as death finds you, if death leaves you, judgment finds you, eternity keeps you. Two men stood at my door not so awful long ago at my home in Ashland. I knew why they were there, had their literature. And I said to them, I said, you fellas don't believe that Jesus Christ, Jesus of Nazareth, is God, do you? No, He's a good man, He's not God. I said, well, why? Why are you going up and down this community trying to convince people Jesus Christ is not God? I said, if He's not God, He's the biggest liar that ever lived. He said, I and my Father are one. That's right. He said, He that has seen me hath seen the Father. He said, before Abraham was, I am. I am. He used that name of God. I am God. He's an imposter. He's a liar. His soul's in hell and his body's in the grave. Why are you trying to convince people that He's not God? If He's not God, we have no Savior. We have no righteousness. We stand before God in our sins. You're taking away the only hope people have. The only hope a sinner has is a Savior, a Redeemer. A Savior and a Redeemer and a High Priest with which the Father is pleased. One day our Lord told a whole group of religious people, religious Pharisees gathered together. He said, I have a question. What think ye of Christ? Whose son is He? And they said, well, He's the son of David. Son of David, root of Jesse, son of David. Christ said, then why did David call Him Lord? David said, the Lord said to my Lord, sit thou on my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool. How can He be David's son and David's Lord? And they couldn't answer. And from that moment on, they never asked Him another question. Can you answer that question? The answer to that question is right here. Unto us a child is born, made of the seed of David, from the house and lineage of David, from the loins and root of David, right on down through Mary. But unto us a son is given. David's Lord inhabited the body of David's son. That's how He's David's son and David's Lord. Till God in human flesh I see, my thoughts no comfort find. The holy, just, and sacred three are torments to my mind. Unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. And the government of the universe, and the government of the kingdom of God, and the government of the covenant of grace, and the government of this world, and the government of all things is on His shoulders. The Father loves the Son and hath given all things into His hand. Jesus Christ has all authority in heaven and earth. That's what He said. When He sent His disciples out to preach, He said, now all authority, power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and preach the gospel. All authority is given to Him over all flesh. He said, I have all power over all flesh that I should give eternal life to as many as Thou hast given me. He's the head of the church. That in all things He might have preeminence. He makes alive whom He will. As the Father raiseth the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom He will. And you know what the Scripture says? Jesus Christ, whom John saw on the Isle of Patmos. Revelation 1:18 says He has the keys. He has the keys of hell and death. All authority. The government on His shoulders. And I tell you, those who present Jesus Christ as only a man, as a pitiful reformer, as a religious martyr, as a frustrated Savior, as a weakling that begs us to help Him out, Those people have no understanding of who Jesus of Nazareth is, who Jesus Christ is. His kingdom cannot fail. He rules over earth and heaven. The keys of hell and death are to our Savior given. He sits at God's right hand till all His foes submit and bow at His command and fall beneath His feet. His name is wonderful. Wonderful. Unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. The government of the universe is on His shoulders. And His name is wonderful. Wonderful in His eternality. Wonderful in His person. Wonderful in His holiness. Wonderful in His love. And wonderful in His death and in His coming. His name is Counselor. You know, every religious person on this earth wants to be a counselor. There's one counselor. Don't come to me. Go to Him. He's your counselor. His name is the Mighty God. He chose His mother. He chose the day He would be born. He chose the place He'd be born. He chose the way He'd die. He chose the place He'd die. He chose the grave where He'd lay and the time He'd come forth and the people for whom He would suffer. Surely, the centurion said, this man is the Son of God. And He is, because it calls Him the Everlasting Father and the Prince of Peace. Unto us, a child is born. Unto us, a son is given. And the government's on His shoulders. And He's wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and our Prince of Peace.